As we think of the word trust, what comes to mind for you? As you're thinking about all these prayers we just got done reciting and asking and in requests, what comes to mind? As you think about your own struggles and your own growth and your own maturity, your daily walk, when you think of the word trust, what comes to mind? And what does it mean to be trustworthy? So first of all, we can trust God, right? We can trust God with every one of those prayers, every one of those requests. We trust His timing. We trust when it's not yet that time. But what does it mean to be trust? What does it mean for us to be trustworthy? God is trustworthy.
They're worthy of that trust.
Worthy of that trust, David said. But what does it mean for me to be trustworthy? And trustworthy to who? I have to be trustworthy to God. I have to be, as we talked about the other week, I have to be trustworthy to other people, right? And I have to be trustworthy to myself. So trustworthy has three different dimensions here. I have to be trustworthy to myself, to others, and to God. And that, in that order, of course, I have to be trustworthy to God first, and then I will be trustworthy to others, and I will try and certainly be trustworthy to myself.
Maybe you can't be trustworthy to others until you're trustworthy to yourself first.
As David said, maybe I have to be trustworthy to myself before I can be trustworthy to others. And maybe I have to be trustworthy to God before I can be trustworthy to myself. So Paul is pouring into Timothy. We're continuing in Timothy. So Timothy, what Timothy is all about is disciple making. Timothy is all about mentoring. Timothy is all about equipping. Timothy is all about pouring into another person, because Paul is pouring into Timothy because he wants Timothy to go and pour into other people. Paul says to him in verse 12 of 1 Timothy. Timothy even gets the name of the book after him. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. This is Paul speaking. Strength. Sometimes I think we just need a little strength, don't we? As we walk through this walk, as we face different challenges, all these prayer requests, this little baby Sebastian, I think that Jasmine needs some strength, that Rose needs some strength right about now. I think Ashley was needing some strength before Dante was born. I think that, you know, as we walk through this thing with this church, we need some strength with this building right now. With Laura and Roman, they need some strength in that household right now. Sometimes we just need a little more strength than what we have ourselves, don't we? He says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength. So that strength isn't just I muster it up. That strength isn't just a bunch of knowledge. That strength is given to me. Isn't that nice? Isn't it reassuring that I don't have to go grab some barbells and work out for months and months and build up all these muscles or get all this knowledge and do all these things so that I can have enough strength, enough wisdom to pull through, that I can just get my strength? Where does wisdom come from? The only place wisdom comes from is God. And so, as we, and the, one of the only things it says in the Word, if we ask for, we'll immediately get, is wisdom. God will give us wisdom to get through. He'll give us strength. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointed to his service. I want to be considered trustworthy. Don't you? in your family? Don't you want to be the one that they consider that they can trust you, they can talk to you, that you're not going to go and spread it to everybody else, that they can trust you for some good advice, and that you won't judge them? Don't you want to be that trustworthy person? And don't you want God to trust you? And what is all this for? What do I need this strength for? Why do I need to be trustworthy? He says, so because I mean, appointed me to his service. So what a show of hands right here in this room. Who has been appointed to God's service? I'm looking around. I want to see the hands. I want to see every hand. And I'm seeing every hand. You are wise. You are wise to know that you have been appointed to service. You are wise to know that God is giving you the strength for that service. And you are wise to know that you are trustworthy of that appointment.
I may not know what my appointment is, but I know it's something.
I may not know what that appointment is, David says, but I know it's something. That's correct. We don't always know exactly what God is appointing us to. Continuing. Paul says, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Ignorance. Can I get an amen? Anybody act in ignorance? Oh my goodness gracious. We could be talking for days, right? On each individual person, on some of the silly things that we have done. I sometimes say that some of the stupid things I have done when I was younger. I mean, God has pulled me out of so many different situations. It's not funny. And it's certainly not funny. But he has pulled me out of each and every situation. Paul was a blasphemer, meaning that he talked against God, thinking he was for God. He was talking against God, not even knowing it, because he was ignorant. And ignorance is not an insult. It simply means you don't know. You haven't gotten the knowledge of it yet. You haven't gotten the wisdom yet. He was a persecutor. He went around persecuting people who didn't think the way he thought. And the way he thought about God, even though it was wrong, and then he would persecute people, and he was actually a very violent man. He would put people in prison. He would have people killed. I believe he would do it himself. And he prided himself in all of this, thinking that I am a man of God, when all he was misdirected and deceived. We can get deceived pretty quickly, can't we? Paul says, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. We need some abundant grace here. Grace means that undeserved merit. Grace means that Paul was a train wreck, and God stopped him in his tracks and knocked him off his horse, and blinded him, gave him revelation, let him see and hear Jesus, and was appointed a mission of going and helping others find Jesus and finding the real truth. And appointed him, as he said earlier. Paul says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. In other words, we need to take this one in. We need to etch this one in. You know, I look at like tattoos these days. Everybody's got tattoos these days. And, you know, people are etching things on their skin, okay? And it's not my thing, but it is a lot of other people's, okay? But people have a certain connection to what they write on themselves. Now, I don't like it personally because it doesn't come back off, and I dealt with our daughter with that one, but I lost. But, you know, but I find that, man, it's a great conversation starter. Talk to somebody about what their tattoo means. So what if we had a tattoo, and I'm not suggesting to go get one, but it said trustworthy. I would bet you if I had a written on my arm, trustworthy, I'd get a lot of conversation. Trustworthy, what's that mean? Who are you trustworthy to? Why do you have that written on your arm? Is that about your family? And then I can have this whole conversation about God, that I am trustworthy of God, or that, hey, I've got the trustworthy saying to tell you. Here's a trustworthy saying. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I am the worst. Even I. Paul was the worst. I mean, Paul and David, for that matter, they were train wrecks, man. They did more bad stuff than anybody ever could have done. And he says, I was like the epitome of against God, and I didn't even know it. And I would go around persecuting people. I mean, I was a sinner of sinners of sinners, even though I had all this knowledge of law. But I was so misdirected that God had to knock me off my horse in order to set me straight. But by his grace, he has brought me back. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of who I am the worst. You know what's beautiful about that hair statement? Because when you talk to people and you say, hey, you know, we're all sinners, immediately people are going to be like, well, I don't know about me, you know, I'm a pretty good person. I try to do the right thing, and you know, I don't really sin. I don't lie. I don't cheat. I don't steal. I haven't murdered anybody lately. But when you say, of which I am the worst, it lets them let down their guard a little bit. It lets them say, well, maybe, yeah, I've fallen short here or there. You're worse, so I can talk about me now, okay? Because, like, yeah, you told me all this really bad stuff you did. Maybe I can get a little real here, too. Paul goes on. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Jesus is patient with us. When you think about your life, when you think about your journey, when you think about how you have dealt with God in your life, if you think about your laundry list of things that has happened or what you've done, Jesus is awfully patient. God is awfully patient with us, don't you think? I mean, we can reject God. Like, look at Paul. He's going around throwing God's people in prison. And then they're terrified of him. He's actually even having them killed. And God is still patient. Jesus is patient. Until he sees him on that road to Damascus and puts him straight, blinds him, and puts him off on mission, on service. Because he was patient with him, waiting for him to be ready to be utilized. I think God is waiting for us right now. There's that word yet again. God is waiting for us to be ready. He's waiting for us to be equipped. He's waiting for us to have a little more courage to go talk to somebody. He's waiting for us to pour into somebody else. He's waiting for us to have that revelation. You know, we're reading that book of Revelation. I got to tell you, it's been a revelation going through that study. This idea about suffering. I've never looked at it that way before. Suffering is loss. That's brilliant. That's true. Every kind of suffering that you can think of is connected to some kind of loss. And Jesus, this is where it gets even crazier, Jesus came and he conquered death. He was resurrected. He suffered so that we could be restored from all of our loss. How cool is that? Jesus is patient. He's waiting. God is patient. He's waiting for us to come to Him. And finally, Paul closes with, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." This is about the long term. This is not about the short term. This is about the long haul. This is not even about just our life. It's about our eternity forever and ever and ever. I don't think we can wrap our minds around eternity. I don't think we can fathom it. You know, when you're young, you don't think you're ever going to die. When you're 20 years old, you might be reckless as all get out because nothing can harm you. We learned that, you know, as we went through the adoption process, it's not until you're like 25 that you even have the idea of consequence in your brain formed, which is why people who are younger are doing very reckless things sometimes because they haven't even figured out consequences. But when we get older, we understand consequences, don't we? We look at ramifications, don't we? We measure it out. We count the cost. But when you're younger, so we all have this perspective that this is just going to be like it is forever. But it's not. Because there's an eternity coming. I do so many services. And thank be to God, I've had to do every service where somebody believes in Jesus. I give God all the praise and glory because I don't want to do one where somebody didn't believe in Jesus. It's going to be a sad, sad service. Because eternity is forever and ever. I've talked about this before, but my best explanation is if we had a line that went forever that way and a line that went forever that way, off into infinity in both directions, and I took a little pencil and I put a mark on it right here, that little pencil mark would be our lifetime. But eternity is that. God is eternal. Jesus is eternal. The Holy Spirit is eternal. And He's given us a trustworthy saying that if we put our trust in Jesus, we will be with our Father for eternity. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank You that You are so, so patient with us. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You have done everything to bring us back. Help us to change our hearts, change our minds, not just about our own walk, our own salvation, but those of everyone around us. Help us to see that eternity line and where somebody else may stand on it. Are they just inside the pencil mark? And what happens when that pencil mark is erased? What happens with that line of eternity? May we think of everyone in our families, all of our friends, all of our neighbors, everyone around us. Where are they with God for eternity? As Paul is pouring into Timothy, he's giving him revelation of the eternal, invisible, all-powerful, all-knowing God of gods. He's giving him revelation of Jesus, the God he met on the road to Damascus. He's giving them insight into the Holy Spirit who guides Paul every day of his life. And he's trying to show Timothy how he could do that for someone else. We thank You, Lord, for Your church. We thank You for Your people. We thank You for eternity and for Your grace and Your mercy that pulls us back into that line each and every day. We thank You, dear Father God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I put my trust in You. I put my hope in You. I put my faith in You. is for your glory, Lord. I put my trust in you for your glory. No selfish ambition here. Nothing in it for me other than that perfect assurance. We thank you, dear Father God. We thank you that we can be trustworthy to share your gospel, to share your word, to share your son with a world that is in desperate, desperate need. May you build us up so we may build up someone else who can build up someone else. This we ask through Jesus Christ. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord.